Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome back inside Patriots Playbook here on a Wednesday. Patriots.com radio, I'm John Rook, and let me first of all just say I'm glad to be back. Last week obviously was the short week because of the holiday, so we didn't have the playbook simply because the Patriots were away in Detroit on their way to a win over the Lions. Come from behind win over the Lions, such as it was. And then Tuesday, I had college basketball duties out of the country, so we didn't have any show on Tuesdays traveling. Yesterday, I apologize. I thought I was going to be able to get in for at least the opening hour of the show. It just didn't work out that way. I had television duties. In fact, you know, for those that may not be aware, I'm actually right now, and I know nobody's going to sing any sad songs here, but this is basically the busiest 4 weeks of my schedule of the entire year. 16 games that I'm doing, basketball and football-wise, over the course of 29 days. I've got another basketball game tonight, as Paul and I just talked about. Had one last night. Thought I'd be able to do the show, or at least the opening hour of the show. But then when television interview says, you know, we got to go a little bit early, you got to jump whenever the producers tell you to jump, and that's why there was no show. So, listen, my personal apologies to you. I appreciate the thoughts and the sentiments that have been sent on Facebook, and glad to be back with you. So here we are. Let's jump into this. We got JETS week. Mark Canizaro from the New York Post is going to join us in just a little bit. I have to tell you, though, right off the bat, as soon as the game was over last Thursday, okay, maybe not as soon as the game was over, maybe after the last, you know, tryptophan withdrawal got through on Friday after I finished the last of the turkey sandwiches. Of course, you know, we were very, very fortunate to have. I have to admit, though, I could not wait to read, you know, NFL.com, couldn't wait to go on ESPN.com, couldn't wait to go on Jets.com, couldn't wait to read the Post, because I'm just dying to see and dying to hear what Rex Ryan has to say next. So I'm wondering if Mark Canizaro of the New York Post is the same way, because he covers the Jets for the Post, and he joins us here on Patriots Playbook. Mark, thanks for taking the time, number one. Number two, are you also kind of, you know, hanging on pins and needles waiting to hear what Rex is going to say next from time to time?
Well, John, I mean, I don't know what more he can say, you know.
You're going to have to punch him in there because I have no audio on the other end.
John, if you can hear me.
So you might want to. Got him now? Mark, you there?
Yes, I am, John.
If
you can hear me, I
got
can answer to your question. I don't know what more Rex can say than he hasn't already said, but, you know, he's already broken out the props this week and, you know, with his wife's magazine ad and comparing himself to Tom Brady, which was fun, and he's already said he wants to kick Bill Belichick's butt, although he used another word. So, listen, we all have fun with it, and I think what's most fun about this, to be honest with you, is the fact that Rex has a legitimate and healthy respect for Bill Belichick. It's not a disdain. It's not, you know, this isn't Belichick Mangini, where there was a obvious friction between the two. You know, these guys respect each other. You know, we had Bill Belichick on a conference call a little while ago,
right,
today, and you know, I asked him specifically about that, and he has a genuine respect for Rex. Rex does Bill, and Rex, as Rex said, you know, he's like, I just want what he has. You know, I want those rings. You know, I want to win those rings. I want the success he has, and you know, that's what Rex is trying to forge in New York now.
Well, I have to admit that I think Rex has actually become a mastermind at saying the right thing at the right time in order just to kind of tweak people's noses. And I'm sure there's probably a certain rhyme to his reason here. But, for instance, you know, when he came right out, you know, after the weekend game was over with Cincinnati, and he says, you know, I'm not in Belichick's class, but I know one thing, he's going to get my best shot. And then he, you know, goes on to say that, you know, basically the Patriots are the best team in football, or at least that's what all the experts say, except me. Now, to me, that's just a show of gamesmanship. That's not Rex being crass or being crude or being, a jackass, or as he might say, or anything else like that. What that is, I think, is just a stroke of confidence more than anything else.
I think it's, it's a little bit of everything. It's genuine respect. It is sure there's a little gamesmanship there. He's not necessarily to tweak the Patriots, but maybe to light the fire of his team. You know, everybody's saying, he's playing the underdog card.
Right.
I mean, the Jets are 3.5-point underdogs in this game, which basically tells you that the odds makers are looking at the teams at pretty much 50-50. Because as the home team gets 3 points. So,
right.
They're saying the Patriots are half a point better than the Jets, according to the experts. So, they're essentially, I think he's just trying to rile his guys up and say, hey, listen, we know what they've accomplished, but it's our time now. And I think the Bill Belichick comments are legit. I think he realizes, look, he's got to win rings before he can be considered in the same class that Bill is. And that's what he's striving for. So, yeah, it's just the interesting thing about Rex is I think a lot of people around the country who don't maybe aren't here listening to him, or looking him in the eye, or it's easy to kind of look at him as a gas bag and a guy that's just blowing smoke, which he does. Let's not all head coaches. Listen, Bill Belichick blows smoke with the best of them. He just does it very under the radar,
Sure.
The interesting thing about Rex is, for all of his bravado, he's not a guy that you want to dislike. I think even the opponent looks at him as not a guy that's easy to hate, because he does it in such a way, there's a self-deprecating element to it, and, he's a guy that he's putting the pressure on himself. I was talking to Herman Edwards yesterday, the Jets' former head coach, who's now on ESPN, and, Herm was kind of talking about, I asked him about Rex, and, in Herm's way, he tried to deflect the attention away from his Jet players by standing up in front of the reporters and being the center of attention to some degree. And that's what Rex does. Rex wants to take the pressure off his players, put it squarely on his shoulders. The irony is, to some degree, because of the things that Rex says, he actually does put a lot more pressure on his players because he raises the bar.
Sure. Rex is 2-1 in his career against Belichick. How has he had that early success, do you think?
Well, there's a little pattern developing here. We'll see if it continues on Monday. But, the Jets came out and played the Patriots early last year. They put 20-plus hits on Brady. Brady hadn't seen Rex's defense up close, in live. And that was his first go-around. And he was definitely off his game and set off his rhythm by the Jets, which is exactly what they want to do. And then later in the season last year, as you saw, John, Belichick, they game planned it up differently. They saw the things that the Jets did. They adjusted, and they did a better job against the Jet defense. Now the Jets caught them early again this year, coming off a tough loss in their opener against Baltimore. And, they simplified things offensively a little bit, and Sanchez took care of the ball well, and the Jets win. And, it'll be interesting to see what kind of adjustments are made on Monday. Now, there's a lot of things I think that the Jets do that the Patriots certainly have had a close eye on, and they're going to, Belichick, he shuts down the things that, the opposing team's biggest strengths. And, the Jets' strength is running the ball and throwing these quick slants by Sanchez to Santonio Holmes and Braylon Edwards, and I'm sure that Belichick is scheming up a way to stop that stuff. So,
I have to admit I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so it'll be interesting to see, as it unfolds on Monday, can the Jets have not swept the Patriots since 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And, subsequently the Patriots have a number of season sweeps against the Jets in that stretch. So, yeah, it'll be fascinating to see if the Jets can do it again. There's just so many compelling elements to this matchup, really.
One of the most compelling to me, as you kind of alluded to, Mark, the fact is that the Jets are very, very good at run game and also in the controlled, shorter passing game, if you will, with those slants. And the Patriots are, they're giving up almost 400 yards a game in total offense. They're next to dead last in the NFL in passing yardage allowed. And yet the Patriots defense, while it breaks, or at least it bends and then cracks a little bit, they also have a tendency to kind of turn you over. So I think it's got to be on Monday night. The Patriots defense has to be able to come up with a pick or two or a fumble or something in order to be able to stop a couple of jet drives. Otherwise, I haven't seen anything yet from the Patriots defense that would let me believe that they ought to be in good shape against Mark Sanchez.
Well, you know, Sanchez, as you know, threw four picks up in New England last year up in Foxborough.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
You know, he literally threw the game away for them.
But I will allow that he has improved, and I think that he has probably learned, and he's a better quarterback now, certainly, than he was this time a year ago.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, you know, he's got eight picks this year and hasn't lost a fumble. He's his number one improving point this year was taking care of the football. And there's no question, I think that, you know, there are going to be points there for the taking against that Patriot defense. You know, it's pretty clear that, you know, they got a lot of young guys in there, and it's a transition period for Bill and that defense, and they're vulnerable. But you're right. They've turned the ball over. I mean, they're plus 11 in turnovers in takeaway ratio. And I refer to talking to Teddy Bruschi this morning a little bit, actually, in a conference call, and I asked him a little bit about the keys to victory. And Teddy said he really believes he believes the Patriots have to be plus two in turnovers in this game to win the game, which tells you a lot.
It does tell me a lot, and I happen to agree with Teddy. Mark Canizero from the New York Post joining us here on Patriots Playbook. Something that I really didn't know until I took a little bit closer look at the Jets and who they've played thus far, they're 1-2 against teams with winning records. And the only win they have against a team with a winning record is the Patriots, well, back in week two. So are the Jets overrated, or is it just a byproduct of the schedule thus far?
Well, I think it's a byproduct of the schedule, because the fact is they've only played three teams winning records.
Okay.
And, you know, they lost to one of them 10-9. And I don't think any of us would argue that Baltimore isn't one of the strongest teams in the league. So
true.
That's no slouch. You know, they lost to Green Bay, another pretty good team, 9-0 at home, coming off the bye. The offense was just, you know, just completely sleepwalking. And I don't really look at the fact, you know, if the Jets have gotten blown out by a couple of teams, and the Jets don't seem to get blown out by anybody because of the way they play defense. But if they gotten blown out by some winning teams, I would look at that. But that said, I will say that I think that we're going to know everything we need to know about the Jets, you know, by midnight Monday night, because the Patriots are legit. You know, we all know how good they are. And, you know, if they beat the Patriots, I don't think you can say, you can throw that, okay, the Jets are scraping by these losing teams like they did in Detroit and Cleveland. You know, had to barely beat Houston with a miracle. You know, weren't even that impressive against Cincinnati, to be honest with you, on Thanksgiving until the second half when they kicked it in. So, you know, there's a lot of people. You know, the naysayers, it's very easy to look at the schedule and look at the numbers and go, oh, well, they barely beat Denver, they stink. They barely beat Detroit, they're no good. Cleveland, you know, down the line, but. You know, they did beat the Patriots, who we know are a good team, and they lost to Baltimore by one. They lost 9-0 to Green Bay. If they get blown out by those two teams, then I'd say, okay, well, maybe the Patriot win was a fluke, and maybe they can't beat somebody good. But I would argue, and I think, you know, you were up close and personal against Cleveland. Cleveland's a pretty good team. I mean, they got a bad record, but they're a pretty good team.
Yeah,
they got a lot of, you know, they got some talent there, and even Detroit has got some talent. You know, and Detroit gave the Patriots a pretty good game in that first half on Thanksgiving.
Sure,
so, you know, the league is so, the parity is so prevalent in the league that teams just aren't blowing. There's no team in the league that's mowing teams down right now, if you look at it. I mean, who are the three best teams in the league? Patriots, Jets, and Atlanta Falcons. And every one of those teams have been scraping by a lot of these wins, regardless of who they're playing. So nobody's dominant. Nobody's blowing teams out. So I do think that's a bit overblown.
And you blogged about this a little bit yesterday on the New York Post website, that the Jets might have some concern about Nick Folk. You know, I recall that the Dallas Cowboys cut him a year ago before the end of the season because he kind of tailed off. Do you get a sense that he's tailing off in terms of his performance? And the Jets, who? They brought in Chris Brown, I think, for a tryout?
They did bring in Chris Brown yesterday. This is a compelling issue, John, because I've been very adamant from the start. Prior to ever meeting Nick Folk and And I think Nick's done a decent job for him this year. He's slumped lately, obviously, and that's why they brought, you know, brought Chris Brown in to take a look. But, you know, I think the Jets messed with a good thing when they didn't bring Jay Feely back. I've had a premonition since that happened that it was going to come back to haunt them at some point. And the fact that they have any kind of concern right now with the kicking game as they go into the biggest game, regular season game they've played in maybe in their history, you know, it serves them right to some degree because they didn't want to give Jay Feely a few extra bucks. The guy's one of the most dependable kickers in the game. He knows the Giants Stadium and Meadowlands wins as well as anybody, having kicked for the Jets and Giants. Oh, by the way, 13 out of 14 field goals this year as well, mm-hmm, in Arizona. And now, you know, you're worried about Nick Folk, and it serves him right, to be honest with you, for being worried about their kicking game, because they messed with a good thing, you know, because they thought they could get away with saving a few bucks, and there were some other elements in there, too, not to bore you with detail, but, you know, with that whole Final Four, Final Eight rule with the teams, sure, getting into playoffs, they weren't able to sign any free agents unless one of theirs was signed, and Feely was really the only viable unrestricted free agent that somebody was going to sign off the Jets. And that, in essence, enabled the Jets to go after Jason Taylor. So you can make the argument, okay, if they re-signed, you know, Feely, they wouldn't have Jason Taylor. You know, we can argue all day long whether that's a good trade or not. But the bottom line is they mess with a good thing. Now they obviously have some confidence issues with Folk. Folk's going to kick on. I don't believe they're going to make any changes. From the people I've spoken to, I think they're just looking at their options and. But Folk is certainly on notice, and confidence for a kicker, as you know, to me it's more important than how strong the guy's leg is. I just think confidence is huge, and I worry about Nick Folk's confidence. Now that this has all transpired, they brought a guy in; it's been publicized. Now he's going into the biggest game of his career, you know, against the Patriots on Monday night, in a field that I'm sure, you know, is a natural turf field. I'm sure it's probably not in the best of shape right now, so it's not an easy place to kick.
Yeah, it's actually field turf.
It's field turf. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm wrong on that. So,
nope, that's all right.
In any event, you know, which is what the Jets have, too, at Giant Stadium, but
sure,
at the Meadowlands. But even so, regardless of the surface, everything's in the kicker's head, in my estimate. It's like a golfer. I'm a big golf guy. And if your confidence is shaken a little bit, it's human nature to have some issues there. And I'm very compelled to see, you know, the first 35 or 45-yard field goal that he's got to kick at a tough spot on Monday night, because it's going to come down to a field goal, I think, this game. And it's going to be fascinating to see how he handles it.
I don't think there's any question about that. Mark, before we let you run, you know, we've kind of talked about this and talked around about this in talking about Rex Ryan a little while ago. Does this team still feed off of his enthusiasm, or do they simply go about this in a professional manner like you might expect most professional football players, most professional athletes, really, to go about it? But do they really seem to thrive or get off, if you will, on Rex's enthusiasm and his tweaking of other teams and things along those lines?
Well, they definitely feed off it. There's no question about it, John. And they'll continue to feed off it for as long as Rex is the head coach. You know, it's all part of who they are. And they, you know, it almost, I equate it a little bit to Belichick. You know, I've covered Bill for years since he was an mm-hmm. assistant with the Giants.
Right.
But I do remember, you know, when he was at the Jets and he was the defensive coordinator, and they used to talk, I would talk to players, defensive players, you know, they couldn't wait to get to work on Wednesday to see what Belichick had schemed up on Monday and Tuesday. You know, what was in the game plan? And that's something that never gets old for, I think, any defensive player that plays for Belichick. And I think in the same manner, you know, it's the same kind of thing these players have for Rex. You know, what's Rex going to say today? You know, I mean, what button is he going to push today? Who's he going to tweak? Who's he going to tick off? Whatever the case may be. And, you know, I don't think it's ever going to get old. Much like, you know, for those, you know, those Patriot players that play for Bill and can't wait to see what brilliant defensive scheme he's worked up, you know, on their day off on Tuesday when they come in on Wednesday. You know, what are we going to do? And, you know, I think the Jets are that way, too, with Rex to some degree, certainly the same way with his defensive schemes, because he is a brilliant defensive mind, equally as brilliant as Belichick, I think. But, you know, they also are looking for that motivational button that's going to be pushed.
Well, it'll be interesting to see now how many more motivational buttons are pushed between now and next Monday. Have you gotten to the point where you just wish they would kick it off?
Oh, I'm very much to that point. And, you know, the funny thing is we haven't really – it's been a weird week. The Patriots did their schedule a little bit differently, but the Jets players were off yesterday and they're off today. So we haven't had any access to Rex or the players yesterday or today. And certainly, you know, that doesn't mean I'm not writing because I'm still writing about five stories a day. But, you know, so really tomorrow to some degree really begins the hype week. I mean, yeah, we talked to Rex and the players on Monday and that kind of got things rolling. But, you know, now there's 2 days off, 2 days of silence here. But it'll be, you know, today will be the last day of silence, trust me, you know, as we lead into the game. Because, you know, there'll be – but I think the Jets will take – as much as everybody thinks they're going to be talking big, I really do think, you know, John, these guys, they know what's at stake. You know, the Jet players are not real boastful talkers. You know, they take after Rex a little bit, you know, take his lead. But Rex is really the boastful guy. The players, you know – they're just jacked up to play in the game, and they're looking forward to the chance of, you know, to potentially knock the Patriots off the throne they've been on for all these years. And, you know, I don't think you're going to hear a lot of Jets players chirping because there really isn't that isn't really their nature, to be honest with you. It really, you know, it's real Rex's nature.
Is there anything else besides Santonio Holmes' addition to the team that you might consider a positive addition to this Jets team since the last time they played?
Well, the only other tangible thing is the Calvin Pace, their linebacker, who was out with a foot injury for the first four games, was not in that first game, so he'll provide a little more pass rush. You know, that said, the Jets' pass rush, regardless of who they had in there, has been not great. You know, they don't generate a lot of pressure with their front, and you know, it takes blitzing to do it. That's why I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what they do, what they scheme up with Brady. They're certainly going to come after him, but I could see the Jets also a lot of times looking like they're going to come after Brady and stepping back and just maybe rushing three and dropping eight guys. I mean, they did that. They've done that a few times this year, completely confused some players. The other thing I completely expect them to do is I expect the Patriots to go with a lot of no huddle. That's the one way that Brady can dictate the action and not let the Jets, you know, disguise their coverages, disguise their blitzes, and you know, certainly make quick, you know, substitutions personnel wise. So I would not be surprised to see New England in a no huddle almost all the, you know, at least if not almost all the game, in a lot of the game on offense.
I would tend to agree with that. Mark, thanks again for spending time with us today. Sure appreciate it. Hope that you find plenty of good material to write about over the next couple of weeks. We'll see you on Monday.
Okay, sounds good, John. Thanks.
All right, Mark. Mark Canizero, New York Post, and covers the New York Jets. You can read all of his stuff online at nypost.com. Be sure to check it out because he's got the Jets covered about as well as anybody can cover them. Great stuff. Great stuff to get started. Man, just listening to him and talk about the Jets and things, I'm kind of right there with him. I'm ready to kick this thing off, as I'm sure many of you are as well. That's going to get me to my question of the day. And obviously, want you to fire off any and all questions that you have concerning the Jets, the Patriots prep, anything else, you know, pro football on your mind. webradio@patriots.com is how you reach the show, just like any other show here on patriots.com radio. webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the ace ticket hotline. 508-543-7482. If you want to pick up the phone and call, got my Facebook page up and running as well. We can take some questions if you post them on Facebook, or you can also call up the chat element on Facebook. And if you haven't joined up on Facebook, just find me, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. We'll friend you, and then we can communicate that way as well. At JRook0722. If you want to go by Twitter, we can do that as well as inside the world of tweeting. My question, though, has to do, really, a very simple one today. I think we all realize that there are probably likers, maybe even be a few lovers, and a lot of haters of Rex Ryan. Within Patriots Nation, within the New England fandom. But as I opened up the program and kind of talked about with Mark for a little bit, you may not like the guy. Maybe you can't stand him. Maybe you think he's nothing but a showboat. Maybe you think he's nothing but a fat bleepity bleep. You know, whatever. That's fine. Fans are going to be fans. People are going to be criticized. People are going to criticize him. You know, obviously, it doesn't bother him at all because he keeps doing it. I personally can't wait to hear what the guy says next. I hope he tweaks somebody in the interest of making good radio here, in the interest of reading good articles online or in the newspapers that you open up. I mean, whatever. It's all good theater. It all adds to the buildup for the game. And so if you could have one thing, if you could say one thing to Rex, and pick just one. I'm not talking two. I'm not talking about a 10-second diatribe or a 30-second diatribe or whatever. If you could ask him one thing, or ask him a question, I guess it might be, but if you could say one thing to him or ask him one question, what would you say to Rex Ryan? Try to keep it as clean as possible, but I'm going to allow you that liberty here today. If you could ask the guy one thing, because he's a personality. Let's face it, he is a personality. Loved a couple of weeks ago when he met his brother Rob, and of course, former Patriots linebacking coach, and he was with Cleveland, and Cleveland, you know, should have won that game and just really kind of they frittered it away at the end. One of those escape games that the Jets have had several of this season that we were just talking about. But, you know, loved the banter back and forth between his brothers and, you know, between his brother and himself. And it's good theater for the NFL. We all like good stories. I am one of those media people that roots for the story. Sure, I root for teams because I'm a fan just like you or anybody else might be. I root for teams. It's always good when your teams win. It always makes everybody feel a little bit better about themselves. But I also, as a journalist, and I also as someone who has been in the media for over 30 years, I root for stories. I root for storylines. I root for plots. I like to see interesting conversation and conjecture and back and forth and banter. And I just, you know, stuff that's not boring. This is why I like covering sports for a living. And so I want to give you a little taste of that by asking you if you could ask him one thing or you could say one thing to the guy, what would you say? Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Facebook, yes, please do so. Mary Beth says on Facebook, she says, I'm not sure if you're aware of the statement made by Fred yesterday or not, but I know that everyone I have spoken to feels it sums up just how they feel. He said, I am not sure I am emotionally ready for a Patriot loss to the Jets. I think that is the most appropriate thing I have ever heard him say. Well, I think we all realize that this is, to me, the most volatile of the rivalries that the Patriots might have. You consider the Colts certainly a rival. You can certainly consider the Steelers a rival. And, yeah, you can consider the Dolphins and the Bills rivals because they're divisional foes, and you play them twice a year. But the Jets, since the Jets have gotten good, since the Jets certainly have had Eric Mangini in the fold and then now Rex Ryan in the fold to kind of tweak it and amp it up a little bit, in terms of just pure emotion, the Jets rivalry has been amped up. There's no doubt. And I really believe that most Patriots fans would say, all right, who's the team on the schedule you most want to beat the crap out of? And it's got to be the Jets. Got to be. There are Dolphins haters from way back, and I'm sure there are Bills haters from way back. And, you know, although I think the Bills' recent rows have rendered them somewhat, meaningless now, but hey, wait until they win one, and it is coming. Trust me, it is coming. I don't know if it's this year, but it's coming. Could be, you know, and the Steelers for obvious reasons, Colts for obvious reasons, you know, the Patriots, you know, held on by the skin of their teeth 2 weeks ago, you know, when Peyton Manning was in town and managed to pull that out because somebody on the defense made a play. But when it comes to beating one team, the team that really seems to galvanize Patriot fan opinion is the Jets. And so I can understand how people who work for the Patriots, myself included, you know, if there was one team I'd really want to see the Patriots win, yeah, or win against, it'd be the Jets. I understand why Fred would say that. Doesn't bother me in the least. I don't think that means he's not being impartial. You know, we try to do the best we can to put an impartial spin on it for you because that's what we're kind of trained to do as journalists. But, sure, we're also paid by the Patriots to do what we do. So everything's going to have a little bit of a Patriots slant because that's what we know best. But the idea here is to present both sides of the story and then let you make up your mind and then you can share it with us. I think that's the best route to go, and I hope you agree. But if you don't, then let us know. Derek from University of Arizona is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Derek, how we doing?
John, how you doing, man?
I'm great, buddy. What's happening today?
Nothing. Just got out of class. Just how was your trip? How was your, out of Mexico?
Thank you for asking. It was warm and no complaints, brother. I'm blessed. So it was a good trip. Más cerveza fría.
Yeah. I saw that Dos Equis picture. That made me jealous.
That's
all I drink on game days, and not when I'm out tailgating, but when I'm just sitting back and having a nice draft. That's what I love to have. So
yeah, absolutely, brother. It's a way to go.
Oh, definitely. All right. So, what are your thoughts for the game? What are your biggest concerns?
Well, my biggest concern is something that Mark Canizzaro and I just talked about was, the Jets in their shorter passing game being able to just kind of eat the Patriots up. The one thing, and I know you'll know this as well as anybody, Derek, because you've been with the program from the start this year, the one nitpick that I've had consistent all season long has been the softness of the Patriots' defensive backs against opposition's wide receivers. And so because of that, the Jets are tailor-made for those slant routes over the middle and hitting the tight end over the middle, and I just think that they're in the market to just chew the Patriots up. In fact, this is why I wouldn't be surprised to see the Patriots come out and utilize no huddle, but more of a dink and dunk, let's play keep away from the Jets type of game and go no huddle, simply because they got to feel like the Jets are going to think about do that against them.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. If you look back into the first half of the Week 2 matchup, and, I think they kind of did that Patriots offense. I mean, spreading the ball around, and it was pretty effective, until they did eventually go up over the top to Randy Moss, that amazing, one-handed
right.
catch.
That's
it was
right.
The second half where it seemed like a lot of Patriots fans, and it left a lot of analysts scratching their heads because, it seemed like a lot of people thought, they forced the ball to Randy Moss, and I don't want to get into whether he did or did not, but, it'll be interesting to see if they come out with, if this more balanced attack they have now, is more effective against, more suitable against beating the Jets.
Sure. I just, the Patriots, I think they're going to back off to Santonio Holmes because he obviously wasn't a factor. He wasn't on the team. He wasn't eligible to play. He was still suspended, back when they played in September. So I think that they're going to give him a proper amount of respect.
As they should.
Because he's going to – don't be shocked if he burns him for one or two. It's just going to happen.
Oh, easily. And Paul Perillo, said it on PFW, if he goes 10 for – he can go 10 for 140. He's exactly, the kind of receiver that the Patriots don't want to have to face. And he's personally, I think he's accountable for the last few weeks of just winning the game. So without him,
no question.
I don't know if they win the Browns game. I don't know if they win the Lions game. And,
no question. You know. And I'll tell you, I think Jericho Cotri always seems to come up big against New England.
Yep.
He always seems to make plays. Always seems to come up with the tough catches. He scares me. There's just nobody on that team offensively that doesn't concern me. Tomlinson with the fresh legs and everything. It's going to be a monumental task for the Patriots to be able to, we know that they're a bend and hopefully not break type of defense. But if the Patriots can force the Jets to stall out in the red zone, I think this is the Patriots' best chance to win. If they can force the Jets to come up shooting blanks when the field gets shorter and then put the game in the hands of Nick Folk, again, as we just spoke about a little while ago, I think that's the Patriots' best chance to win the game. Holding the Jets to three, or at least a shot at three, when they could have gotten and probably should have gotten seven.
Yes, Nick Folk, the more proud athletes I am to have from U of A in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, he has
awful.
Struggled, and he struggled.
He's awful.
He struggled last year at the end of the season with the Cowboys, and that's why the Cowboys cut him.
Yeah, no, and it's the formation I'm most scared to see by the Jets is because people still think of them as this amazing defense, and they're pounding the ball, and they've really been throwing the ball a lot. And the formation that I'm worried about most from them personally is Antonio Holmes, Braylon Edwards, Cotri, and Keller, kind of in like a full wide set with, LT and Mark Sanchez and shotgun, and you have so many options there. And I'm not sure this defense is, ready for that kind of an attack, this kind of a balance, and
here's where we have to trust Bill Belichick a little bit. And this is one of the things, again, that Mark brought up a short while ago. And he knows that Rex Ryan is expecting coming because usually when Belichick has a chance to look things over, and especially after the Patriots have lost the first time around, they always usually come up with some sort of a gimmick or a scheme or something that either somebody hasn't seen or they haven't seen in a long time, and it causes confusion or it slows a team down long enough, and before you know it, by the time they get it solved, the Patriots are up by, you know, two or three scores. So
I mean, look at the Pittsburgh game. Perfect example of just that, with the defense, yeah. The way they were stunning and twisting and all of that. I thought all our fans like that, and you know, I mean, I think exposing the Lions defense last week with a bunch of unique play calls I saw, that I thought that was kind of interesting. I feel pretty good about the game. I think the Patriots will win, you know, probably by about 4 points or so, but you know, it's going to be a battle.
Well, there's no doubt it's going to be a battle. I just, you know, hope that the Patriots can, and we're going to hear that conference call and that interview from Teddy Bruschi in just a little while so we can kind of get his thoughts. But I kind of agree with Teddy. I think the Patriots have to force not just one. They're going to force at least two and then not turn the ball over themselves, because one of those I'm going to assume is – yeah, one of those I'm going to assume is going to come probably in plus territory, which hopefully will lead to an easy score. And I think you're going to need to get an easy score, whether it comes by turnover or it comes by a special teams play. They're going to need something to cash in order to be able to provide, I think, ultimately the winning margin against the Jets.
Oh, definitely. But also, to that point, though, would you not say that is what the defense has to do every game? I think they have to force turnovers every game.
It would make their job a lot easier and probably mean the Patriots don't lose the rest of this season if the defense and or special teams can come up with special plays like that. But I think we all have to realize that that's not going to happen every game. This is game, though, of all the games left on their schedule, this is the one game where you really need that to happen, because they're going to need everything to be on their side. You might be able to get away with that against Buffalo. You might be able to get away with that looking at the rest of the schedule. I mean, there are one or two other teams.
At Buffalo, at Chicago, Miami at home.
See, I don't know about at Chicago. I don't know about at Chicago, because I think Chicago's going to
be
playing for
game.
Something,
that's
too.
That's going to be tougher than I think a lot of fans expect it to be. The Packers are going to be tough.
Right.
You know, I think the Dolphins and the Bills, you know, they'll probably give you fifth, but those are games that they should easily win. But
I agree.
You know, I mean,
I agree.
I don't know. I mean, I think this is the game, obviously, with the most ramifications. And I want to, if we have time, I'd like to get into that real quick.
Sure.
Just the ramifications of the game with a win or a loss. You know, with a win, obviously, you're looking at a top seed in the AFC and a first-round bye and possibly home field advantage. With a loss, you're looking at, you know, fifth seed on the road, playing two road games. You know, I just wanted to see what you thought about that.
Well, here's the thing. The Patriots have to win to control their own destiny. But the Patriots don't clinch anything. They don't even clinch the division championship with a win.
The Jets, however,
if they win, you can mail in the AFC East title. It's over. Because even though they'll only have a one-game lead in the standings, there'll be two games up in the division on the Patriots. And the Jets aren't going to lose three times. That's the only way the Patriots can climb ahead of them. So this is a more important game for New England than it is for New York. The Patriots must win this if they want to win the division, and they must win this if they want to have a chance at a bye. If they don't, those two things are out the window, and you're looking at no better than the five seed.
It's funny
that's how it works.
When a team like the 49ers, who are only one game back at 4-7 in the NFC West, and then they're only one game out of the lead. And then you look at the Patriots, who are 9-2, who could potentially be 9-3 and still be a fifth seed in the AFC.
Well, I'm an advocate of, and I think this is something they'll have to discuss. I don't know if this will be a part of the CBA that they're going through now or not, but I think especially if we get some 7-9 teams into the NFC, you know, out of the West, and if the Patriots are, say, I don't know, they lose this game but end up as a 13-3 wild card, which could happen if they lose, and they end up going on the road to somebody who's 8-8 or 9-7 even, I think I'd be an advocate of reseeding once the playoffs start, you know, based according to record. Now, that's an imperfect science still, because nobody plays the same exact schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's that big a disparity, I think you probably have to have, you know, I don't know, the league office, somebody who's an alleged, you know, third party, come in and take a look at it and reseed this thing and give the teams with the better records, because of what they've done over the course of 16 weeks, give the teams with the better records an opportunity to play a home game.
No doubt about that. Absolutely no doubt about that. It's going to be an interesting game. I mean, if the Patriots can pull out a W, you know, I think I think playing two home games in the playoffs, if they were to win the division, obviously they would have one of the top two seeds, and playing two home games and getting that bye, that could be huge. I mean, that would be big for this team. It's kind of funny how the disparity between how confident I would be in that situation and how worried I'd be if they had to go into the road, if they were like a fifth seed.
Sure.
Going back-to-back road games and not getting that extra week off.
Well, I think you'd feel a lot better. You'd feel a lot better going on the road if it was Jacksonville than say if it was Baltimore.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a Patriots fan out there who wants to play Baltimore in the playoffs.
No.
And it'd be deja vu all over again. I'd be so nervous to watch that game, but I cannot wait for this game to start.
Yeah, me too. I'm ready for Monday to get here. Hey, Andrew, keep those studies up, buddy.
It's Derek, but yeah, thanks.
What did I say, Andrew? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's because I know somebody named Andrew that went to Arizona. That's why. Derek, sorry, pal.
It's all good, John. I'll see you later, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Derek. See you. Brain dead already. What day is this? Wednesday? Help me out here, Kev.
That was pretty good. You were only talking to him for about 10 minutes.
I know. I said Andrew. Oh, my God. Oh, sometimes I can be such an idiot. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Derek, how could I possibly do that to Derek? He's one of our faithful, loyal contributors and listeners. Got a Facebook question from Amy, who says her question for Rex Ryan would be, what worries you most about matching up with Bill Belichick? Well, you know what? My guess would be that he would probably answer that question, Amy, somewhere along the lines of saying, well, my question for him would be, or what worries me most about him matching up with me matching up with him is how he matches up with me. You know, he would have something kind of smarmy to say like that. You know, he did say last year that, he's not here to kiss Belichick's rings. He wants rings of his own for other people to kiss. I'm sure that if you looked at it from a strictly football point of view, he would be concerned that Belichick is, and I think we all know this, Coach Belichick is generally thought to be a master at making and very, very good, which obviously being a master would indicate, very good at making adjustments. Not only in-game adjustments, but adjustments based on previous matchups. And I think as we all would realize, he's also good about throwing you something, to borrow a baseball phrase, throwing you a curveball that you just didn't expect to see. And that's something that I think has kept him sort of at least a half a step to a step ahead of most of his coaching brethren in the NFL. That would be, if I'm Rex Ryan, that would be my major concern about matching up with Bill Belichick. Not knowing what's coming and then being prepared to handle what eventually is coming. All right, web radio at patriots.com. Let's run a break in here, and then we'll come back and continue. We'll get some emails. We've got some Facebook posts that we want to run out as well. If you could say one thing to Rex Ryan, if you could ask him one question, what would you say?
Eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers.
Yeah, cheeseburgers.
That's being a jackass.
No, that's just being hungry. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. We're in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio. Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You can win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at Patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you can win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal
legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Headline in the New York Post. I don't know if anybody saw this earlier today, but it basically said, Patriots defense playing like bunch of buffoons. Yep. Patriots defense playing like bunch of buffoons. Article written by Bart Hubbock. And really, I think that's just probably a headline writer. It doesn't really say that in the story, but story does point out one of the chief concerns that I have and that probably the Patriots have, I would think, in the matchup with the Jets coming up on Monday has to be the fact that the Patriots are 31st in the NFL in total defense. Only Washington's defense statistically has given up more yardage than the Patriots. And the Pats' pass defense is dead last, 32nd in yards allowed, giving up about 289 yards per game through the air. Rare is the team that advances far in the postseason with a defense that has numbers like that one, and that's pretty much what the story intimates when you get into it a little bit. And it's spot on. It's dead on. Now, I think we all realize that it's not that the Patriots aren't working on the situation, but the question is, how soon can they become at least a viable enough defense to where the yardage they allow won't come back and haunt them? So far, they've been able to mask the yardage they've given up in a couple of ways, and primarily it's been because of the takeaways. And the Patriots have are plus 11, as we talked about with Mark Canizaro a short while ago, plus 11, which is right up at the top of the league in terms of giveaway-takeaway ratio. So they're forcing turnovers, and that's been one of the way that they one of the ways they've been able to get the defense off the field, stopping the opposing offense by turning them over. Certainly gives a lot of credibility to what Teddy Bruschi had to say earlier today, and again, we're going to have that for you coming up in just a little bit. But you know, the fact that the Patriots are going to have to turn the Jets over in order to have a legitimate chance to win this game on Monday night. I mean, the defense has given up 399 yards a game, 399.1. I mean, the Lions moved the ball on them on Thursday. Did you watch the game at all? Did you happen to see what the Lions did? I mean, it was a 24-17 game, and the Patriots managed to score four straight touchdowns to win it. 35 points in the second half overall. Great, you know, that the Lions defense gave up more, but I mean, you gave up 24 points and you were down a touchdown late in the third quarter that game on Thanksgiving. I mean, that's got to shine a red light in somebody's face, does it not? That is a concern. Tom Brady, you know, the fact that, you know, he was AFC Offensive Player of the Week, 16th time that he's been named AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Threw for 341 yards, had the perfect passer rating of 158.3, however they derive that. Second time in his career that he's finished a game with the highest possible passer rating. Last time, I believe, was back in 07 against Miami. I guess if they get that kind of a performance again out of Tom on Monday night, that sure, anything's possible. You can win the game even if you're giving up 400-plus to the Jets, but does anybody really want to take a chance on that happening? I mean, isn't it a little bit unfair to ask Tom Terrific to be perfect terrific one more time? Because it seems like that's where the Patriots are headed with this unless we start to see some improvement defensively. Now, I will say this about the defense. For all the, you know, nitpicking that we've done with them, talking about the corners being soft, talking about, you know, no pass rush, things along those lines. And those have been the two chief concerns, nitpick-wise. And rarely a week has gone by when those weren't at the top of the nitpick list this season. Nothing has really changed now that we're in week 13. I will tell you this, that at least at this point in time, they've been able to overcome that because they've got guys on that young and yes, improving somewhat slightly, if not statistically, defense, making plays now. They're making plays. James Sanders has made plays. Devin McCourty has made plays. Brandon Merriweather has made plays. Gerard Mayo has made plays. Gary Guyton has made plays. Vince Wilfork has made plays. And I'm leaving out some other guys that have all made plays, but just about everybody on that defense has made a play that has been significant. Either A, to turn the ball over and give the ball back to Tom Terrific in the offense, or B, to just flat out stop a drive. And even if the Patriots did nothing with it on the ensuing offensive possession, it still stopped a drive, which is as good as the defense really getting a three and out and forcing a team to punt, is it not? You stop at a drive. They're not scoring on you. A stop is a stop. So guys are starting to make plays. It happened against Peyton Manning at the tail end of that game. Who didn't think for a minute, really, on that last drive, that not only were the Colts going to score, but that they were going to score a touchdown and probably win the game and just bum everybody out until the Patriots made a play. And so that's something that they weren't getting early in the season that they're getting now. So that's where I've seen the biggest improvement in this team defensively. And while the pass rush is still nowhere near where anybody here would like it to be, and you have to feel like it's got to be that way down the hallway where the guy's there, I'm sure they would rather have a pass rush that, you know, leads the league in sacks, but they don't. So here's the thing. They're working on it, but at least we have seen some strides. We have seen some improvement. We've seen some movement toward, respectability defensively. over the course of the last, I would say, 6 to 10 weeks. Grudgingly, it's come. But we've seen some improvement. We're going to need to see, I think, even more coming up on Monday night. Otherwise, you know, I'm a little afraid to of what the result might end up being if you're a Patriot fan. Okay, this one comes from Toussaint. Hey, Rook and Kevin, finally caught the show live today. I was listening to that guy from the New York Post say the Jets players don't talk much. Is he kidding me? Bart Scott and Darrell Revis never saw a microphone they didn't like. Braylon Edwards is also a huge trash talker. I remember that dumb dance he did in week 2 when he caught the touchdown on Butler. Man, I can't wait for this game to shut the Jets up once and for all. Thanks for the email. You know, there's a good point. Bart Scott has done a little trash talking. Darrell Revis, you know, I don't know that I'd call it trash talking. What I would say is that they sort of, as Mark Canizzaro did say from the Post earlier, they do mirror the coach in the sense that, you know, Rex Ryan does sort of set the tempo for that team. And the team seems to respond to the tempo that he sets. And if he's tweaking somebody's nose, the team seems to follow in step with whatever he says. And it's kind of like, all right, coach, that's great. We got your back. I don't know that I've really seen the Jets players out and out pick a fight. Bart Scott, I think, has done that in the past. I'm not sure that Darrell Revis has done that other than to say, you know, hey, don't get stuck on Revis Island type of stuff. You know, when he got into a little bit of a, you know, war of words with Randy Moss earlier this year or even last year. But I don't know that they really have guys that, you know, are putting up bulletin board type material. Do they? I mean, I don't get that. Braylon Edwards, he's done it in the past, sure. But I think he's kind of playing it close to the vest. I'd be pleasantly surprised if we saw, you know, somebody from the Jets, because, again, they had today off, as we learned. Patriots also with the day off because of the longer work week and the game not being until Monday. So it's a little bit of a different schedule this week. Normally teams have Tuesdays off when you have a Sunday game, but they've kind of backed everything up this week. So a little bit of a later off week this week, off day this week, which is one of the reasons why Eric Scal is not here today. But because his schedule kind of mirrors that of the Patriots. But gosh, I'd be pleasantly surprised if coming out tomorrow, guns blazing, somebody in the Jets locker room open up their mouth. Wouldn't that be great? Somebody want to send them an incendiary email just to kind of get things going? We can kind of start it on our own end too, I suppose. Where I'm going with this is I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, but I also I'm getting the sense that the Jets see the Patriots as the team they really want to be like, the team that they want to emulate. And so you have a tendency to sort of mirror, if not out and out copy, the people, the teams that you want to be like.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
It is very true. It is very true, especially in pro sports. I mean, you know, in fact, Rex Ryan said that. I want to be like Bill Belichick. He's said that in so many words. I want the rings he's got. I want to be the best team in pro football. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, somebody striving to be the best, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But, you know, if you're already sort of at or near the top, which I think the Patriots probably have been for, the better part of the last decade, then you're going to do everything you can to try to keep that team from getting to your standard. And you're going to try to knock them off every chance you get just to kind of keep them a peg below, you know. Kind of like, you know, getting into a fight with your little brother or your little sister, you know. You got to whip up on them every once in a while just to keep them in their place, right? Well, same thing. I'm sure the Patriots look at the Jets kind of like their, you know, little brother in the AFC East. Jets don't like that, but it's true. It's been that way for the last 10 years plus. So, you know, the Jets are trying to emulate the Patriots. And so the Patriots, having played their cards close to the vest, with the exception, of course, of Rex Ryan, you know, being the mouth that roared on occasion, the players are taking a clue from the Patriots players. Now, could somebody, you know, pop off based on a question or something that's asked of him in the locker room or after practice tomorrow? Sure. And that'll be half the fun of the anticipation of the game. That'll be half the fun of, you know, coming on air on this show tomorrow and saying, oh, my goodness, did you see what Bart Scott did today? Or did you hear what Braylon Edwards had to say? Or Santonio Holmes, what is he thinking? LaDainian Tomlinson, he and Belichick going to scrum at it again. I mean, you know, that could happen tomorrow. Very believable scenario. And would anybody be surprised? Of course not. Oh, did you hear Rex the buffoon? He went off again last night. Or he said something today about, you know, so-and-so. I mean, it shouldn't surprise you.
Let's make sure we play like the f***ing New York Jets.
Absolutely.
And not some f***ing slap f***ing team.
That's one of the greatest phrases, I think. Just made me laugh when I heard that. Oh, it just made me laugh out loud when I heard that on Hard Knocks this summer. That's just, I'm like, oh, my goodness. just laugh. That's all there is to it. That's all you can do with the guy. All right, let me get back to some other emails here. Let's go back to Facebook. Bobby says, as for Rex, if you could ask him what would be the biggest concern his team would face in preparation for the Patriots since they haven't played them since week two, would you prepare any different since Randy Moss is no longer a part of the equation? Well, you probably would at least a little bit. Number one, because you anticipate Belichick making a move. So you could say, well, he could move here, here, and here. And it's like playing chess. You almost have to anticipate the moves your opponent is going to make before you make your first move. This really is a kind of a chess match in that sense. So because of that, my guess would be, well, they're not so worried so much about anybody stretching, you know, the defense long. They're probably not worrying so much about having a safety come over, let's say the top, and help out on Moss because there is no Moss. But if I'm the Jets, I'm thinking about bringing, I don't know, I'm thinking about bringing those guys up, maybe even playing a straight cover two, and taking your shot with, you know, someone like Cromartie and Revis man up against these Patriot receivers because they're just not so much a deep threat. Maybe if you're Tom Brady, maybe you give Brandon Tate a chance to go over the top and say, yoo-hoo, we're here. I also think the Patriots have an ability on this offense that no other team in the NFL has, and that's to stretch the field with the tight end. I think we've seen that both from, you know, Hernandez, and we've seen it lately from Gronkowski, and I think between those two guys, there's your chance to go over the top because you're going to find those guys in single coverage. Normally, if they're lining up where they're supposed to line up, you're going to find them in single coverage against linebackers, correct? And if you're going to find them in single coverage against linebackers, who are you putting your money on to win the foot race? So let's take a stab at it. Let's get up the field with these guys. These guys are like, you know, pseudo wideouts, especially Hernandez anyway. So let's give it a go. Let's give that a try. That would be one thing. And if I'm Rex Ryan, that would be a concern in preparing for the Pats the second time around, is how they utilize the tight ends and what they have in store for the Jets offensively, especially since Randy Moss is no longer in the part of the equation. Just part of it. All right, let's see. A couple of others. Looks like they are on their way in. Okay. A couple of other things come to mind about this game. I have to admit that, you know, even though it seems that everyone has, I guess, a decided opinion that the Patriots are going to win this game. That's the early, you know, vibe that I'm getting from folks that I've talked to and folks that I've listened to. Sports talk radio around these parts have been overwhelmingly on the side of the Patriots. I'm still trying to look at this thing down the middle as best as I can. I'm not yet ready to follow in line. Not yet. If you had to put it, you know, if you had to hold my feet to the fire on it, I'd say right now the Patriots would win, but I'm not entirely sold. I know the Patriots are a 3.5-point favorite going into this game. I'm not entirely sold on it. Just the fact that the Jets, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, when the Jets were winning all of those games, you know, that they should have lost and that they were coming up with, ways to win that, you know, just kind of boggled the mind. I think we mentioned this after their Cleveland game, that sometimes teams just are special for no other reason other than they're sort of anointed, that they seem to have that karma, they seem to have that something-something. And I think you have to have that almost little special something, the little foo-foo dust, you know, sprinkled on you when it's your turn to be a championship team. I mean, the Saints had it last year. It was time, you know, for the Saints to win after being the Aints all these years in the NFL. And, of course, the same thing was with the Patriots in 2001. It was just, it was time to have somebody come from nowhere and win a championship like that. And every once in a while, during the course of a season, you get someone who wins games that they just have really no business winning. And I think the Jets have two or three games like that already this year. That concerns me. The fact is that they just might have karma on their side. You can't beat karma. Karma's undefeated, last I checked. That concerns me almost as much as anything. The Patriots have every reason to think that they can compete and move the football against the Jets' defense. Based on what we've seen with the Patriots' defense over the last couple of weeks, you know, the Patriots might bend, they might allow a couple of scores, but you know what? The way the defense is played, they're gonna pick the Jets off, or they're gonna force a fumble, they're gonna stop drives, and they might even score themselves off of one of the Jets' miscues. So statistically, while the Patriots' defense has given up yards, they still might make plays. All things being equal, Jets' karma worries me. Does it concern you? Michael says, hey there, Rook, I'm wondering, in your opinion, do you feel our defensive backs play better in zone or in man-to-man? Also, what do you think their defensive philosophy will be against the Jets? Is Sanchez now someone you must consider in your scheme? Well, probably the Patriots' defensive backs play better in zone coverage. That would be my guess. Probably better at guarding an area rather than a man, because I've always thought that they've been playing too soft. I've wanted to see them play more man, because I thought a guy like Devin McCourty should be allowed to use his athleticism in order to be able to man up against some of the receivers. But it was pretty clear to me, on several occasions earlier this year, that's not what they were asking him to do. They were asking him to sort of, you know, take charge of an area and a responsibility more so than playing a guy straight up. I don't know if he's going to get the chance to do that on Monday night. You know, Kyle Arrington, I mean, you know, for as many problems as the Patriots have had on that side of the defense, and obviously Darius Butler earlier in the year, and, you know, Kyle Arrington's done a pretty representative job. That's one of the reasons why you see him in there and why he's kind of held the job down for the Patriots. And Butler hasn't won the job back because Arrington hasn't given it back, or Butler hasn't taken it back. So let's see what Arrington can do. You know, this would be as good a game as any to kind of turn him loose. Maybe you shock the socks out of the Jets by, you know, playing man up here. And then rotating safeties, you know, bringing somebody over the top for help if you decide to need it on passing downs, which probably is going to happen anyway. But all I'm saying is that I think they play better in zone, but I'd love to see them step out in man, because I don't think the Jets or anybody else would expect it. Defensive philosophy will be? Well, I think you got to make somebody beat you. That means you got to take a couple of guys out of the equation. Do you make Mark Sanchez beat you? Do you make LaDainian Tomlinson beat you? Do you make do you make Dustin Keller beat you? You make Santonio Holmes beat you. I mean, you know, I think that's really the Patriots are going to have to choose their poison. So in terms of defensive philosophy, I think they're going to have to say, all right, we're going to take this, this, and this out. We're going to make so-and-so beat us. I think this is actually another good question. I was thinking about saving this for tomorrow, but I'll kind of throw it out right now. Who on the Jets team do you make beat you? Pretty simple question. Who on the Jets do you make beat you? Keller? Holmes? Edwards? Cotchery? Tomlinson? I don't know. Sanchez? Actually, that's kind of how I feel. I actually kind of lean that way. I'd like to see Mark Sanchez beat me. I'm not sure. I know he's kind of got, you know, I guess he's kind of had the sun smiling on, you know, his rear end this year as well. Seems to have gotten some fortunate breaks. I certainly don't think that I'm not sure that LaDainian Tomlinson is capable. I know he's had a great year statistically. He looks like he's, you know, brand new back. He's had fresh legs most of the season. Pretty hard to argue with what a guy like Tomlinson has done this year. Maybe you say, all right, we let the running back beat us. Maybe we let Tomlinson / Sean Green beat us. So maybe what you're going to do is you're going to rush two, you're going to rush three. You're not going to worry so much about, you know, the pass rush per se. You're going to let your down linemen, you rush three or four, whichever, you know, set you happen to be in. You're going to let you're going to let those guys put pressure on Sanchez, thinking that he's going to have some time to throw the ball. But we're going to clog up the lanes. We're going to throw different schemes. We're going to confuse the heck out of Sanchez to the point where we're going to make him beat us. You can also look at it from, all right, you know, we're going to put coverage on. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to take the tight end out of the equation. Don't think that the wideouts can do it. Don't think that they can beat us over the top. Don't think Cotry can do it. Don't think Braylon Edwards can do it. We're going to make them beat us. Or, you know, you slide over safety help and you say, I don't think they can beat us up the middle. Actually, I think up the middle is exactly where the Jets can beat the Patriots on Monday. You know, shorter passing routes, finding the slant routes, you know, hitting Keller, hitting Holmes. That's where I think, you know, I think that's the Jets' strength. That's been their strength all season long. Can the Patriots take that away and make somebody or something or some other formation beat them? Good question. Sanchez, someone that I must consider in my scheme? Absolutely. Don't you think he's kind of earned it by now? I mean, I kind of think so. I think he's certainly earned it to the point where you have to consider. I mean, you know, is he as good as Tom Brady? No, of course not. But has he done enough this season in order to, you know, justify respect? In order to earn the respect of the Patriots? That's another one. I think that's the biggest one right there. Has he done enough to earn the respect of the Patriots' defense? See, to me, that's key. That's key. I mean, you know, if you've done that, if the Patriots have done that, then obviously I think that makes his job a lot tougher. But they've made his job intrinsically easier if you don't realize that Mark Sanchez can beat you. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Our question of the day has to do with if you could say one thing to Rex Ryan or ask him one question, what would you say to the Jets' big man? Come on, all things open here. I can always, you know, bleep out myself if I have to, but I'd really like to know what you think is where that's concerned. Don't really get much of an opportunity to do that. Let's hear what you have to say about that. And number two, sort of kind of along the lines of what we were just talking about here, what Jet do you feel like the Patriots need to take out of the equation? Who are you most afraid of beating you on Monday night? What Jet player worries you the most? That's where we're going with that. Hit us up on Facebook, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Squeeze in another timeout. We'll come back inside the playbook coming up.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines, Patriots.com. Radio.
get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at Patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridiron challenge.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridiron challenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridiron challenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Webradio@patriots.com as well. That is our email address. Facebook, Twitter, we're here. So come on, get in the playbook. Pat's Jets Week is here. Patriots and the Jets battling for first place in the AFC East on Monday night. Potentially the top seed in the AFC playoffs coming up, in another 6 weeks or so. Sort of brushed under the carpet. Of the win over Detroit on last Thursday, Patriots have guaranteed themselves now a winning record for the 10th straight season. Belichick has moved past Joe Gibbs with 172 career wins as a head coach. That puts him now 3, 6, 9, 10. That puts him 11th in all-time NFL history, 11th with 172. He's two away from getting into the top 10, tying Mike Holmgren. So he could end up, with any luck, he could end up 10th all-time in wins at the end of the season. Here's another one I should have mentioned earlier that we mentioned when Tom Brady was named the AFC Offensive Player of the Week this week for his perfect passer rating performance against the Lions. Brady has now extended his streak to 199 consecutive pass attempts without an interception. Breaks his old record of 183, which he set a year ago. But he's had streaks of 183, 175, and 173 in his career without throwing a pick. And he has not thrown a pick now on 199 consecutive pass attempts. Quick, knock on wood, reverse whammy. It doesn't happen again, right? Brady, six straight starts without an INT. That ties a franchise record. Tony Eason, believe it or not, also had six straight starts without a pick back in 1986. How about that? That's one that I flat out did not know. Good stuff for the Patriots PR staff to come up with that one. Brady's thrown at least one touchdown pass in all 11 of the games. Obviously, four touchdown passes against Detroit was a season high. The longest pass play of the season was not Brady to Randy Moss, but it was Brady to Deion Branch, 79-yarder in the third quarter against the Lions. What else did I miss from Thursday that I wanted to bring up today? Fifth career 100-yard reception game for Deion Branch. Wes Welker extends his streak 74 straight games with at least one catch, including all 60 of his games as a member of the New England Patriots. Let's see. The most consecutive games in a Patriot uniform is with at least one catch is 63. So Wes, with any luck, he'll tie that and potentially break that before this season is over. And I think that it was, Devin McCourty, his first two-pick game. So he has five now on the season. Five interceptions, tied for the second most by a Patriots rookie. Most interceptions by a Patriots rookie. Here's a did you know. Most interceptions by a Patriots rookie, Mike Haynes, the Hall of Famer. Eight picks in 1976 when he was a rookie with the Patriots. And then Devin McCourty is tied with three other players with five. Tied for second. So he's got three more to go before he can tie Mike Haynes. But he's tied with Don Webb, who had five picks way back in 1961 for the Boston Patriots. Deke Sanders, five picks in 1974. And then Maurice Hurst, remember him? Maurice Hurst had five picks as a rookie in 1989. So good little tidbits to come by from the game in Detroit. You know, this was a part of Nitpick Tuesday yesterday, I'll be all honest, you know, with the nitpicks and all. And then, you know, we always like to balance things out. You know, we give you a bad thing, and then we give you a good thing. And that was my list of good things that I had, you know, jotted down and compiled, you know, for the game. Nitpick, honestly, the only nitpick that I really had from the game, you know, I watched the game from the, where was I? I watched most of the game. I started off at the resort where we stayed at in Cancun for the basketball tournament. It's called the Aventura Spa and Palace Resort. If you know anything about it, it's in Playa del Carmen, which is actually about an hour south of Cancun on the Yucatan Peninsula. But watched the first quarter at the resort, got in the van because it's an hour to an hour and 15-minute trip to the airport from there, and then watched half of the third quarter and the entire fourth quarter from the airport, which wasn't bad. It was fine. Everybody was watching football then anyway. And I have to admit, you know, got there when it was – when I watched the game, when I first got there watching the game to the airport, it was tied at 17 and saw the Lions score to take the lead. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And I'm like, oh, man, am I going to have some nitpicks for next week? And then I saw the Patriots come back and then obviously score, you know, 28 consecutive points to, you know, basically put the Lions away. And it caused me to really think, well, I guess most of the nitpicks, unfortunately, probably would have come during the time that I did not see them play. So, you know, frankly, I would leave it to you to do most of the nitpicking on a day that, well, in this country, we give thanks. We give thanks for our blessings. We give thanks for our friends, our family, you know, food that we have on the table, all these great things, the things that are going well in our lives, the people that mean the most to us in our lives. We give thanks on Thanksgiving Day. That's what we do here. And I realize it's not the same everywhere, but it is an American holiday. And so I wasn't really going to go the nitpicky route. And that's not a cop-out. I'm certainly, you know, and a few of you that posted to the, you know, the Facebook page with your nitpicks for the game, frankly, I thought, you know, you're spot on with a lot of your comments. I think I got a couple of them here still that I saved. Let me go back here and see what I can find. For instance, I think I've still got them on here. Where'd they go? Give me 2 seconds. Yeah, Paul said, today's nitpick has to be the defense. Unlike the last 2 weeks, they were giving up yards and points way before prevent garbage time kicked in. 24 points and 400 yards against the Lions? That's not good enough. I still think they'll get there, but they do need to do so fast, especially with the Jets in town next week. And Brett also said, I understand why people are frustrated with the defense. Take into account the bend but don't break Bill Belichick mold of defense that causes turnovers and is stout in the red zone. I think a lot of the defense is by design, although we can do a better job for sure. I'd like to see one game that doesn't have us rack up 300 or 400 yards against our defense. Keep in mind the Saints of last year. Okay. You know what? That's good. I mean, you know, frankly, that's really the only thing that you can – I think those are legitimate nitpicks, and you have to kind of pin it on the defense as a whole. I mean, they gave up over 400 yards, you know, to the Detroit Lions, who were 2-9 on the season. You'd like to think that you have probably a little bit better control of the situation, and while the offense just was way too much and overpowered Detroit, you wanted to see more from the Patriots' defense. Yes, they won the game, but you wanted to see more. I know I did. Legitimate. Now, if they give up that kind of yardage, it tells me the Jets are probably going to score more than 24 points. So the question then becomes, can the Patriots score 25 or more against the Jets' defense in order to win the game? See, and I think that is where the problem lies when you start kind of thinking about the matchups in this game on Monday night. I'm not entirely certain that that's possible. I'm not convinced. I need a little more convincing. Maybe when we hear the players, when we hear from the players again starting tomorrow, it's just, you know, we're kind of lying here. It's quiet. It's midweek. We got a long way to go, trying to pace ourselves a little bit, but it is Jets week and kind of anxious to hear the guys talk about, you know, wanting to get out there and wail on somebody. Frederick says, Rook, I would ask Sexy Rexy, how often are you getting your teeth bleached? I think they're becoming whiter each week. He says, love the show all the way from Denmark. Thanks, Frederick, for posting. getting your teeth bleached. Well, you know, he is in front of the camera a lot. So if you're in front of the camera a lot, I guess you probably should have that done. I mean, you know, football coaches and such, they're probably all used to, you know, chewing tobacco and, you know, putting that, you know, little dip between the cheek and gum and all that kind of stuff. And whether it's good for you or not, you know, I'm not going to be anybody's conscience here. Fact is, it kind of yellows the teeth out a little bit. So it has kind of dawned on me that, you know, he's looked a little bit more photogenic. Maybe a consultant's gotten to him. Who knows? I think that's kind of interesting. James says, John, just had a vent a bit. I hate the Jets for their childish WWE way about them. It's just immature. I still remember Bart Scott awkwardly throwing a football at some guy during pregame warm-ups earlier in the season. Yeah, and he got called out for it or whatever it was, hit somebody in the stands with that. Says, does Vince McMahon have a position in this organization? It's a joke. And he says, shout out to Kyle O'Brien. All right, shout out done. Well, no, but again, as Mark Canizero told us earlier, James, you know, the team does sort of mirror its coach. I mean, look at the Patriots. Great example. Patriots players have a tendency to play it close to the vest. They're not very forthcoming. They don't give you a lot. They don't even sometimes give you what you ask of them in terms of honesty or in terms of, you know, well-rounded answers when we ask them, you know, when it comes to, you know, media responsibility time. It's because they mirror their head coach. Their head coach sets a low-key tone. The players are going to set a low-key tone. The head coach is going to be out there in front of everybody to see, smiling, guffawing, and cracking jokes and making quips. Well, then, you know what? Somebody in that football team is going to follow along. Teams do mirror their coaches. They follow the personality of the coach, whether they're really that personality or not. It just sort of permeates the team. If you've ever been on a team before yourself, you know, whoever your leader is, whoever your boss is, whoever your head coach is, whoever your manager is, whatever, you know, in whatever it is that you're doing, the organization, the team, the unit itself is going to take on the attributes of the person who is in charge. If a person in charge is a bookwormish, you know, straight by the letter of the law, a very organized, almost anal person to a fault, well, then the organization is going to tend to be tightly run, probably almost to a fault. But if a guy is a little bit here, there, and everywhere and allows people to do what they want to do and operates a little bit more with a loose hand and allows people to do their jobs, first of all, you're probably going to find a little bit more fun place to work. Second of all, the persona of the place is going to take that persona on. People are going to be a little bit more relaxed. They're going to be a little bit more comfortable. They're going to be feeling like they can say things that they might not say in an otherwise pressure-packed situation. And it's the same way when you're playing for a coach that, you know, is not afraid to open his mouth and insert foot. So the Jets players are kind of like that. And frankly, you know, okay, it's fine to hate the Jets. I mean, many of us do. It's fine to hate the Jets for what you think would be a childish and, as you put it, James, WWE way about them. But it's also part of gamesmanship. It's part of sport. It's part of playing. It's part of the attraction. It's part of the entertainment value that sucks you in and sucks me in and puts butts in seats and drives people to the television and drives people to the radio and drives people to the internet for shows like this. If the Jets were boring, well, frankly, what would we be talking about right now? We'd be talking about the game, but it might not be as fun. And I don't think it would be as interesting. So hate them for what they say or what they do or how they act all you want. But I'm going to tell you that, you know, frankly, I think it's good to have, you know, a contrarian in football. You know, like the Jets might be and like a guy like Rex Ryan or even Bart Scott might be. TG and NJ. I agree with you, John. I get the feeling the football gods are smiling down on Sanchez and the Jets right now. They got the mojo. The way they have been winning games, fate is on their side. Can't really complain about that being a Pats fan. Yeah, like the Tuck rule. It's very true. That's one thing you certainly can't do. The Tuck rule, arguably, and maybe even inarguably, started the Patriots off on this entire decade of dominance. He says, I just hate that Sanchez has never paid his dues. He didn't play his full college years. He comes out early and gets drafted by a team with the best defense and then makes it to the AFC title game. Even Brady had to sit a year behind Drew. I just hope that if we lose, it's not an embarrassing blowout, although I sometimes think we might blow them out, but it is a division game and the two teams match up well. It's going to be close. Also get the feeling an injury could occur that has a big impact on the outcome of the game. You know, that's actually a good thought, TG, only because, you know, when you have emotion, you have charged up feelings, and you have two teams with relatively equal ability all over, small things usually play out big. So if somebody tweaks a hammy or someone takes a big hit, you know, leaves themselves open in the middle and has to be taken off the field or, you know, and obviously we hope that doesn't happen on either side because, frankly, you know, while I'd say, hey, you know, I don't mind if the Jets get hurt. Well, I want to beat the Jets with all their pieces of the puzzle intact. Be that much sweeter when it's over. And I got to feel like the Jets feel the same way. And Jets fans probably feel the same way. You know, I want to beat Tom Brady. I want to beat Bill Belichick. It just wouldn't be the same if they weren't involved. And it wouldn't be the same if, you know, Sanchez wasn't involved, or Tomlinson, or Bart Scott, or, you know, Cotchery, or Santonio Holmes, or any of those guys were involved. It wouldn't be the same. You want their studs to play because you want to beat their best. And so when a game is even, and emotions do run high, yeah, sometimes, you know what, things like that can fly, and things like that can happen. I hope it doesn't, but it certainly could. Don't be surprised if it does. I kind of feel the same way TG does. I don't necessarily think that, you know, there's going to be an injury per se, but I just feel like it's going to be a really close to the vest, hard fought, emotional, just, you know, sitting on the edge of the seat, biting your fingernail kind of game. And it may boil down to, you know, a kicker in Nick Folk who has struggled of late, and a kicker in Shane Graham who has come on in, you know, in place of an injured regular. Two guys that you don't necessarily want to put the game on the outcome or the outcome of a game on, but you really don't have any choice. You just don't have any choice. Howard, a friend in Connecticut. John, the following are my reasons why I think the Pats will win this coming Monday night. Granted, I think it will be a close, hard-fought game, but in the end, I think the Pats win. Number one, he says, Bill Belichick. Number two, he says, Tom Brady. Number three, turnovers. Pats have been winning this battle, and I think they win it this game too. Number four, Pats wide receiver tight end weapons. The Jets' DBs are very good, but only the first layer. The combo of Revis Cromartie is probably the best in the business, but after that, they're not very deep. Combine that with the Jets' inability to get to Brady unless they blitz, and Dante's prep of the offensive line to cover the blitz, I see Brady lighting the Jet D up. You know, it's a good point about, you know, the defensive backs being the first layer, and they're not really terribly deep. You know, their starters are pretty solid, if not the best in the biz, as you put it, Howard, but you're right, they're not very deep back there. I mean, backing them up, Dwight Lowry, Drew Coleman, you have the safeties in Leonard and Brodney Poole, but Eric Smith and James Ahedibo backing them up. Guys that you say, huh? Who? Okay, so nothing there that really, you know, strikes fear into the heart of men or Patriots. But I brought this up a little bit earlier. I really think a huge key for the Patriots offensively could be utilizing, you know, that hybrid, that wide receiver slash tight end, and letting those guys kind of stretch that Jet D open in the middle. To me, that'll be very intriguing to see if they take advantage of that, or at least try to take advantage of that. Reason number five, Howard says, is running game will be better than expected because the passing game will open lanes. As for who do you make beat you, which I asked earlier, I say go with shutting down the run and forcing Sanchez to beat you. Yes, he has developed from last year, but he is still a second-year quarterback and is prone to making mistakes, albeit fewer than last year. Hopefully, Bill Belichick has some tricks up his sleeve to confuse Sanchez so that he makes poor decisions. Yeah, I think that's really kind of the way to go. I think you still have to take your take your chances with making sure that a guy like LT and a guy like Sean Green don't beat you. Tony Richardson, who's very good at catching the football out of the backfield as well at fullback. You want to make sure that those guys don't beat you. Because then you're really kicking yourself if, you know, LT rips off a 50-yard run. It's like, all right, how does an 80-year-old man run 50 yards? I jest, of course. But you kind of get the feeling here, right? How does LaDainey, that should never happen. Should never happen. So take it out of the equation. Make somebody else beat you. Make Sanchez do it. That's probably as good as any. Probably as good as any. Kind of the way that I'm sort of leaning anyway. All right, what else do we have here? I got a couple of others that I want to share. Steve sends this via Facebook. And as soon as it comes up, my goodness, the internet is slow today.
Tell your mother to pay her internet bill.
I know. What is going on here? Come on, man. What is up with this? This is brutal. You got any good, Facebook waiting music there, Kev?
Wish I had some Jeopardy music.
Man alive, this is awful. All right, well, let me just refresh it here and make sure that we're still hitting on all cylinders because it doesn't look like anything is wrong here on my end. It's just taking forever for the page to look. Oh, it's because I got messages coming in. That's why. Usually when,
It's
because
you're so popular.
No. It's not it. Not it. All right, here we go. Steve says, John, I think you guys hit the nail on the head earlier by bringing up the possibility that the Jets are overrated, which I think they are. No, they don't have any karma, he says, because they haven't done anything worthy of deserving it. Well, Steve, I'd kind of argue that point. I think those close wins that they probably should have lost, that's a sign of karma. The fact that they won the game when they didn't deserve it, to me, is all the karma in the world that you need. They're winning games they shouldn't win. They're getting gifts, in other words. Anyway, he says, look at those teams they struggle to beat, the Lions, the Browns, and Houston. I don't think the Patriots will make the same mistakes those teams did that the Jets were able to capitalize on. I don't think the Jets can beat the Patriots without the Pats also beating themselves. I don't think the Jets can go on the road and beat Pittsburgh or Chicago either. I'm sure in the coming weeks we'll see just how terrible the Jets really are. Monday will be the beginning of the end. Whew. You know, that's actually a little bit different take. That's the first take I think we've had today, you know, that really doesn't seem to think that the Jets are all that. I think we mostly have people who are somewhat respecting of the Jets and what they brought to the table at 9-2 thus far, and trying to give them some credit where credit might be due, but that's the first one we haven't had. Let's see if that holds up. It could. I mean, you know, okay, we still got a lot of football to play. I did mention earlier that I do think this game, seriously, this game means more to the Patriots than it does to the Jets. The Jets are still in the hunt for the AFC East, even if they lose. Why? Because the worst that can happen here is that if they lose this game, yes, they're a game behind the Patriots overall, but they're still tied with the Patriots in the division. So what that means is if the Patriots stumble and lose one more time, the Jets are back to even. Patriots, however, if they lose this, they're a game behind the Jets, and they're also two back in the division, which to me is, at this stage of the season, going to be insurmountable. Even with the Jets having to play at Pittsburgh, and even with the Jets also having to play at Chicago. I don't know that they lose both of those. I could see them losing one. I guess they could lose both, but frankly, you know, they'd have to lose three times for the Patriots to get back on top of them in the division. And I don't think that happens. So this is more of a must-win for the Pats simply because they lost to the Jets back in week two. Anybody disagree with that premise? Nobody's really talked about that yet, but, you know, this is it for the division. If you want to win the AFC East and you want a chance at being one of the top two seeds and having a bye in the opening round of the playoffs next month, this is the game you gotta win. This is it. You lose this, you got no shot. No shot. I did say there was a lot of football left, right? I still don't think you have a shot at winning the division. The only thing I think you have hope for here is to, you know, you'll be the five seed, hopefully get a good draw somehow, you know, in the wild card, but, you know, you're going to go on the road and play a team that probably is going to have a worse record than you are, and you just want to stay healthy. You don't want to lose anybody for the rest of the year. You want to stay healthy because you're going to have to win three road games conceivably to get to the Super Bowl. Michael says, I'd ask Rex Ryan if he regrets not keeping Woodhead, and not one Jets player really scares me. My game plan would be make Sanchez beat us and do all I could do to protect Brady and run outside screens. All right. Multi-purpose. First of all, asking Rex Ryan if he regrets not keeping Danny Woodhead. Well, certainly, I think, you know, the Patriots' gain is the Jets' pain. Woodhead was expendable. He was not a part of the equation, especially when you feel like, you know, you got LaDainian Tomlinson, who's clearly found the fountain of youth. I mean, you expected Sean Green to be the number one back there, and then Tomlinson's come in, and he's, you know, running like a guy who's almost 10 years younger than he really is. So that makes a guy like Woodhead somewhat expendable. That's number one. So there really wasn't a place for him on the roster. You know, Patriots would probably trade spots. If they could have, you know, LT and Sean Green, they'd probably make the trade. When you consider, you know, the overall talents of the running backs. I'm not talking about the personalities. I'm just talking about their football ability. But keeping Danny Woodhead, you know, well, I don't know that the Jets would be in position to do that. Danny Woodhead has been a real find for the Patriots. I've heard more and more people say over the last couple of weeks that Woodhead has been a godsend simply because of Kevin Faulk's injury, and it looks like now we have an heir apparent third down back in the Patriots organization. Whereas I think, you know, a lot of people still hope that Kevin will come back at least for one more year after his knee injury earlier this season. Fact is, if he doesn't, you're probably not as bad off as we thought we were, say, 6 to 8 weeks ago. because of Woodhead's emergence, not only as a viable running back, but also as somebody who can come in on third down, you know, and make something out of nothing. And just happens to be he's of the same stature as Kevin Faulk. So kind of interesting there. Game plan, I agree with you. I'm leaning more toward, yeah, got to make Sanchez beat us. Do all you can to protect Brady. Run outside screens, you know, misdirections. Get hard-charging Jets players, especially on blitzing downs. You know, let's see if we can't get guys into the open field and whoosh by the guys that have, you know, just peeled past you already. That's where the big plays are going to come from. I don't think you're going to necessarily go over the top here. I think what you're going to get is you're going to get the Jets who are going to come after Brady, and they're going to blitz some. You're going to have to hope that you time it out right and see that the Patriots pick the right play call when it comes to a potential blitzing down for the Jets defense. And if you have that right play call, then you can take what would be a 5 or 6 yard pass play and let it turn into 30 or 40. Those are the kind of plays that you hope to have more of than the other guy. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Makes absolutely a lot of sense to me. Tomorrow on the program, Russell Baxter will be here. So we'll get into other, you know, items around the NFL, but, you know, it's pretty clear that, you know, in every NFL show that you watch on ESPN or NFL Network or your, you know, channel of choice, the focus of Week 12 in the National Football League, is it Week 12? Yeah, Week 12. Week 13. No, Week 12. Is going to be, I'm losing count here. This is Game 12, so it's Week 13. That's right. Thank you. Lost track. Everybody's had their bye. Focus is going to be on the Pats and the Jets. All the NFL live shows, you know, everything that's on, you know, that's going to start off with all the Patriots and the Jets, the battle for the AFC East, all the supremacy is there. The team that wins this game is probably going to be, you know, at the top of the league in the power rankings or whatever, for whatever those are worth. Patriots, I know, are at the top of most of them this week. Not undeserved. I'd still put the Jets there, but again, that's just me. Because until the Patriots beat the Jets, I don't know how the Patriots have earned it. They got the same record as the Jets, and if all things are equal, and the team that you're equal with is beating you, then why isn't the other team ranked ahead of you? That's kind of how I look at it. Again, it really doesn't mean much, but, you know, it's good conjecture. It's good for conversation. That's going to be the focus. You've got the football world focused on your Patriots right now. And because you've got the football world focused on the Patriots and what the Patriots are going to do in this particular battle, you're back in an accustomed spot as a Patriots fan and having most everybody else in the league being somewhat envious. So Patriots fans, all I would do is just say, you know, enjoy the ride for a minute. Realize what you've had, not only this year, that you're kind of back up there where you'd hoped you'd be, but you probably didn't expect to be this year. I mean, realistically, did we really expect to be? Did this team expect to be like this year in this position? No. No. And you've got to be honest with yourself here. No. But they are, and to whomever's credit that falls, kudos to them. Coach Belichick, the players, Tom Brady, administrator, whoever, probably everybody. Team effort, right? So enjoy the ride for a little bit, you know. Scoff and guffaw at Jets fans all you want. We'll do our share of that again tomorrow here in the playbook. But mainly, just kind of enjoy it a little bit, because you just never know when it's going to stop coming around. And yet it just seems to keep coming around and coming around here if you're a Patriots fan. All right, good stuff. Again, same Pats time, same Pats channel tomorrow. Stick around, because Shop Talk is coming up next right here on Patriots.com Radio.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com Radio.